Good morning, honorable members. Good morning, the Department of Communication. Good morning, DG. We are so happy to welcome the Department today of Communications. DG Security, DG Thierry, you are all more than welcome. I'm Priscilla Temba. For those who don't know me, I'm the chairperson of the Select Committee on Labor and Public Enterprise. Members will introduce themselves, and we will go, everyone in the room will have to introduce herself or himself, so that we actually remind ourselves who is here. Over to you, members.
The colleague who I'm to Mr. Mshumo, this name is Jerry Bohan. This is a couple of the Limpopo. Remember our this committee, the governor of our week, the head committee. Dolly who I'm to Mr. Mshumo.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jeff Goldman from Gauteng, member of the committee. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Aaron Snebel, member of the committee. I'm representing the way I'm of Inkai. No way.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I am Zora Mlenzana, member of the Select Committee from the province of the Eastern Cape.
DJ, over to you. Honorable Chairperson, members, thank you very much. Maybe first, before we start the presentation, I sincerely want to apologize, and I really, Chairperson, you can sincerely accept my apology that I've not been able to appear in the last two sessions. It was not a reflection that I did not take the work of the committee seriously. Things are rather very hectic in terms of the work pressure. Like, for example, on our way from the airport to here, I received an SMS that Minister wants to see me in Pretoria and Apathy. So it shows the level of pressure that Minister Karimi is under in dealing with some of the issues. So I think from my side, really, it's a sincere apology that from my side, to see how does one manage my work in such a way that I also do attend to my commitment to this committee. So I really want to sincerely apologize. I also to thank you for the support. The feedback that I've received from my colleagues is that the committee has been very, very supportive. So I sincerely want to thank you for that, the person and the committee members. The feedback has been very positive from my team. Hence why we're continuing, and this is one committee that I think had a very good working relationship. So I think for me, it's really what I'm saying is that of a reflection of the respect that I have, the sincerity of the way I know this committee, how the department has always interacted with this committee and positively. That's really my sincere apology, Honorable Chairperson. I would like to introduce the team to see we'll be spreading apart. Some people don't want to see too close. But maybe you want to come closer so that people can see the screen. Yeah. I'm Rosie Sekes, the DG Department of Communications, Temba.
Thank you, DG. I'm Temba Piri, DDG for ICT Policy and Strategy in the Department of Communications.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Committee Members, one and half Wolves, Director Legal.
Good morning, members. My name is Radomile, President of Communications Legal Services.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. My name is Colleague Makaso Mashilo, Chief Director, Broadcasting and Eagles.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Members. My name is Lisa Kabadia, Parliamentary Liaison Officer Ministry.
Good morning, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I'm Ephraim Ado, Department of Communication Quality Unit. Thank you.
Honorable Chair and Members,
we've got other people who haven't introduced themselves.
Good morning, Chair and the Honorable Members. I'm the President of ANAM, the Senior Financial.
Good morning, Chair and the Committee. My name is Mbusen Mbele, the Social Officer of Soria. Honorable Sibande.
Sibande, you can move to one side.
Thanks, Chairman. Good morning, everybody. I'm Bruce Jacobs from the Free State.
Hi, my name is Dave Anthony, and I'm the DG of the Parliamentary Assistance.
Good morning, my name is Yolisa Lang from the Parliamentary Communications Office.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Tanga Mukumba. I'm from the Parliamentary Monitoring Group.
Good morning, Tanning Gotungwa Ma, Committee Secretary for Telecommunications. Communications.
Good morning, everybody. We're Nunyoni, interpreting English language service.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. My name is Eric Postcard. I'm the Cornell Advisor for the Committee.
Good morning. My name is Lily. I'm the Committee Secretary.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. The department was invited to present the Communication Amendment Bill 2013 and the Independent Communication Authority of South Africa Amendment Bill 2013 to the Select Committee on Labour and Public Enterprise on the 27th and 29th January 2014. During the deliberations of the 29th of January 2014, the Honorable Committee requested the department to consider two matters with regard to the Independent Communication Authority Amendment Bill. Mm-hmm. And the two matters, Honorable Chairperson, the President went back, deliberated on the two matters, did benchmarking to look at what are other legislations, how are they dealing with these matters, in particular the issue of the quorum of the ICASA Council, and also the whole issue about the with regard to the payment of or the COVID measures, which is a matter that deals with the role of the staff members. What we've agreed with DDG Kiri is that he will read the presentation and then the team will see how we can come in as the response to this.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honourable Chairman and honourable members of the Select Committee. As earlier referenced by the DG, Honourable Chairperson, and I'm looking at slide 5 currently, with the second bullet, with regard to clause 9D, the proposed wording by the department reads, the quorum for any meeting of the council is a majority of the councillors in office at the time, including the chairperson or acting chairperson who is a councillor and appointed by the council to perform the functions of chairperson, which functions includes the power to provide, to preside at a meeting in the absence of the chairperson. This is the wording currently in the bill, and this is the wording that was deliberated at the last sitting of this committee, and we requested to go and look into proper wording. Chairperson, the state law advisor, together with the department's legal division, have been working on this issue. We have done a benchmark. For instance, when you look at slide 16, we have looked at how the wording in the similar case actually reads. We have taken an example from slide 6 regarding the National Environmental Management Biodiversity Act of 2004. 25 of that legislation, which says that quorum and duration. One, a majority of members of the board serving at any relevant time constitutes a quorum for a meeting of the board. I won't read all of them, but when you look at the Local Government Municipal Properties Rates Act of 2004, on the same issue of quorum and divisions, it says that a majority of the members of an appeal body serving at any relevant time constitutes a quorum for a meeting of the board. When you look at the Higher Education Act of 1997, it says that on the meetings of the council, one half plus one of the members of the council holding office on the date of the meeting of the council constitute a quorum for such a meeting. Chapter 10, we are finding that there is a pattern in the wordings. We are also finding that depending on whether the institution is a board or a council, and depending on the functions that it performs, there seems to be a particular pattern as well. And here we're talking about a CASA which performs an executive function. I do want at this point in time the person to give the state law advisor to present to the committee the wording that has been proposed. Proposed by the state law advisor.
Is it a senior state law advisor?
Yeah, but it's on cool.
Well, it's on cool, the senior. Welcome, Honorable Chau. There's Honorable Chau representing the Northern Cape province. You're welcome. Senior state law advisor, can you talk to us on the wedding of the proposed wedding?
Thank you, Chair. I think the proposed wedding legally has presents no legal challenges in terms of interpreting it, particularly to lawyers. However, having engaged with my colleague from the office of the Chief State Law Advisor, we had agreed that perhaps the current construction was too long and that we could do better. And there was an agreed proposal between ourselves and the office of the Chief State Law Advisor. Also to confirm if that proposal has been circulated to the Honourable Member.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mbuti. Welcome. I think you can hear on this. You've been part of us.
Oh, okay, Chair. Thank you, Madam.
I'll talk to you.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you very much, Chair. We together with the department we drafted that provision on the behalf of members. Because members in the previous meeting has a problem with in office at the time. So they wanted something that is easier for a lay person on the street to understand. So then we came with that thing that together the serving as councillors, those are the words that we took off the in office at the time, which are the weights that are inside the bucket square and in bold, and we just put just after that as the serving office. And then everything that was said and also into the thing. And so we put it as that thing so that for the person, as I've said, for the person on the street, when he reads it, so that he can see it that way. As correct as put my colleague in the NCOP said that, you know, what we have put there is already what is captured in section 5.2. So that is a repetition and it makes the sentence long. So why we just not cut it and just say including the chairperson and the acting chairperson referred to in subsection in section 5.2 and just full stop. We put it as long as it is, so that we don't leave any doubt
in the eyes of a layperson understood. There are instances when, for instance, but in this case it's not an issue. But there are instances, for instance, when you need to make referrals. And sometimes at that point in time the person doesn't have that particular app that you refer to. And so it makes sense that you put it as it is. It's a modern way of facilitating drafting to put it the way it is so that the person doesn't refer to another head. But in the instance with my colleague and so forth, that but the referral here is in the same head. So a person can easily when it's got the whole body of the head and just refer to that section and see what is there. But we wanted to put it there. And the other issue that we wanted to put it there as long as it is the last part of that referral, which includes the width, which functions include the power to present at the meeting in the absence of chairperson. In that way, as I said in the beginning, we want to avoid any doubt and see that even if it's taking the power, okay, my colleague said that, no, but if you are meeting chairperson, it includes the power to present in the meeting. You know, so we still wanted to put it there so that we don't leave doubt in the eyes of the scene. There is no difference. It's the same thing. It's just the other one refers. And the other one, instead of referring to that section, it just put what is there. It has, I think, to make it so easy for members to decide which one they want. They want us to say everything so that the person doesn't have to go back to the section or the other shorter version, which makes the provision short.
Thank you for the explanation, members. We have been listening to the explanation by the state law advisor and the department. Over to you now. Honorable Feldman, you had your hands up.
That's for that correction. My colleague on the across me is a senior parliamentary legal advisor. I am a senior state law advisor. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm here on behalf of parliament, I'm here on behalf of the executive.
Mm-hmm. Oh, thank you for the explanation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, no, we understand. Over to my honorable first slide, followed by honorable Jeff.
Thank you, Chairperson. The reason I immediately after the gentleman spoke was verified by the gentleman.
Senior.
That's right. Thank you, honorable Poppy. But in the same vein, I want to say, I would prefer the paragraph as it is already, page 7, the Act, instead of the short one. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Jacobs.
Let me just
clarify first, Honorable Felsner. Wasn't here when we were deliberating, when we were arguing. That's why this came, the total version came. So I think you must first listen what Honorable Jacobs is saying before you say you will go with that one.
Sorry, Jim. Irrespective. It's still never right.
Okay. Honorable Jacobs.
Yeah, I think we don't have the two to go. I think the other one, shorter version, it is the one that we are receiving now.
Okay.
Mr. Vembe loaded me in bed. Loaded me earlier, explaining that in the first one, it's a repetition of what is already there.
Mm.
So the shorter one, it tries to cut out the repetition.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think I'm comfortable with the shorter one.
Yeah, I see Honorable Feldman is agreeing. Loaded. Mr. Mbebe, can you assist?
Oh.
The department received this one, the shorter one. Can we have copies to the department, please? The one that we have just received read as on page 7 from line 9 to omit subsection 3
and to substitute the following, section 3, the quorum for any meeting of the council is a majority of the councillors in office at the time, presently serving as councillors, including the chairperson or an acting chairperson referred to in section 5, subsection 2. Department?
Chairperson? We have grown to understand the nature and the vicarage that happens in council as a department. We did explain to the Honorable Committee last time that when things are actually left vague, they can invite a lot of confusion. Our position is that from the legal point of view, the short version is fine. But we also think the certainty around presiding over meetings may be an important issue for the committee to consider for the purposes of clarity on the person who is acting as the chairperson in the absence of the chairperson. You recall, chairperson, that these individuals are appointed by the President of the Republic. So sometimes we thought the little bit of the vision read by the state law advisor does bring that certainty for which in the arguments and the word of Honorable Jacobs may give that certainty and a direct clarification for the men in the speech. We were already clear that for legal purposes there was no problem, but the argument was, can the men in the street really understand what is happening with this way? So, Chairperson, that's our input to you, but we are in your hands, Chairperson. Thank you.
Yeah, Chairman, on the issue, the certainty to say the acting chairperson must preside, must be given the power to preside. I think immediately you say this is an acting chairperson, mm-hmm. He takes the powers of the chairperson, mm-hmm. including presiding in the chairman. So if we do that, it means we are repeating that, because those powers have already been conferred to him or her immediately he acts on the position.
Stage and parliamentary.
Chairperson, from our side, the two constructions in terms of legal meaning are the same. It is really up to the committee which construction really prefers. I can't fault the two constructions. Safe to say that the second construction without some bias is much simpler. Thank you.
The second one, the shorter one that we have just received, is the one that is much simpler than the first one that was distributed by the department. So, members, the one that has just been distributed is what we are agreeing with. Am I right, Honorable Jacob?
Yes.
Okay. Department.
Without sounding like maybe we want to argue with the committee, at the technical level, our own experience is that ICASA tends to be very technical in how they approach things. And one will note that there is a repetition, and this version is a simpler one, and I don't agree with it. But I still want to support what DGP was saying, that at the technical level, to ensure the effective functioning of the regulator, I was going to humbly say this one, but it's up to the committee, because of the experience that we have,
that even us, when we have to engage with the regulator, sometimes we're even subjected to this. We say, this is what the Act is saying, this is what the minister can do, what the minister cannot do. So this is we tend to end up getting to this to interpret our own interactions. But it's a return to the community, but it's just sharing our own experience in how this becomes an issue being used in how they interact with each other.
Thank you, Kitty. But you heard what the committee is saying. The committee is agreeing with this, the shorter version. And you want me to say we must break for, do you want to caucus and Gigi? And Gigi, do you want to caucus? Honorable Sibande?
Not the Chairperson, Chairperson, no. Although I compare myself with the input was from who, Honorable Member Jacobs, but since the input from the DG, it brings something to my mind that I depended solely in both, I just call them technical advisors, both the state law advisor and the parliamentary advisor. Only with the legal background would help me then. But you see, normally what normally used to happen in such cases, if you can recall very well, a lot of people are using this technicality if there are some big problems. I need the clarity from them whether, unlike from next to me, you said they are satisfied with this. So I was alerted by the teacher to say technicality. Want to do this. If we can share together what are those fears,
yeah.
It might assist us.
Yeah. Yeah, just a follow-up on what Honorable Sibande is saying.
Yes.
I just want to check what is this fear of presiding? Because I think there's a problem with the. Because I think those people are educated to have knowing that the duties of the service. And if it's after the deputy chairman of the acting chairman takes over.
Yes.
Now, what is this here to say they will use this as a technicality? If maybe you can be open to us so that we assist. But from a layman's position, I think anybody understands.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to? I propose that you focus. Because the parliamentary legal advice agreed with the short version. So that's why I was saying, let me give you a chance just to caucus and then come back to us and tell us exactly what are your fears. Okay, you can do that. And so that you can tell us what are those technicalities, why are you fearing this sort of version that is going to be understood actually by the, you know, we don't want our people on the ground when they look at these things and then they, our babies again, welcome. Okay, so if I'm giving you that opportunity, that chance to focus.
How many minutes?
5 minutes.
I want to find out if the chairperson has any discussion around the election. She cannot take it. That is not the appointment. We use the discussion or have discussion to say, I appoint you as an amateur chairperson, but you cannot take it.
And you cannot share item A2. No, yeah, you cannot share item A2. What you must wait for me to do, meaning,
the intention of the legislature is to fully delegate. That is
what you do, admin work, you do executive work, signing, but you would also
present. What you are interested in, the
And what is your own disability?
Oh, finances. Nobody can for
20%. And we have to have those where in before, where we said all methods, no methods can be involved to a committee or an individual. We're now having everything in evidence. So you must get consent to something. So if there is a discretionary jurisdiction here, so the, because I was also reading.
Let me give you an example. The other day we had about a small meeting. Yeah. The councillors are already involved in our work. The view was that this has nothing to do with the minister for the service. Because the law says the minister contacted them must consult with them as a council in 9 or 10. So the fact that three of them were in the meeting, they were that it's not a meeting. Meaning, when we invite things, they come there as individuals. So, meaning they can't go and we see that kind. If we want to say we can have a civic person in terms of this matter, none of them in the meeting. Now it's a technicality.
When you address that to the whole country.
Yes, and then Mr. cannot say, delegating me to have a meeting with them. They recognize me.
They don't, no.
You are the excellent person with the mayor.
Question.
They said, who are you? The SNP is the minister. Yes. And then, you find that the matter of administration says no. Go and meet me in a smaller group. Then they will say no. We meet in a smaller group for 4 times. They say no. We can't say anything because we're not a council. We can't take any decisions. If you want to do this for them, you must have 9 or 10 minutes.
It doesn't count.
Nice.
Because
they say in
remember, you had a discussion about the exercise. Me and the dude went to the meeting.
Meeting never happened.
To the building. We left Gloria, we went to sit with them there. The chapter won the meeting.
In the meeting.
And the second and
there were three.
There were three. The chapter them was present. But we could not continue with them.
That's the question for the ministers in the meeting. They were very clear that they engage in meeting with the minister. That's the one issue. Secondly, there must be 9 in the meeting.
You can't be interpreting the law in Christ. I mean, the law says that acting chairperson has all the power. So the chairperson cannot say to the acting chair, you only have the
power. But there will be a people, right?
That why do you have a Section 5 policy does not reflect
society
for
it. That's exactly what the policy
of the subject is. And the important way of making these things that it happens is when cancer is fully constituted. The second issue is some of the cultural experiences on when they meet as groups, then they have that as certain groups. And the other issue is in a case where the person is absent for too long, there will be a question whether the 80% can be drive over it, or is just going to come test. It's very rational. What do you think?
What do you think?
Well,
does not contain the full functions of the chapter. So with the experience that she is referring to, because the cancer is a vegetative cancer, it functions by making decisions collectively. We have just dealt with the amendments that requires the cancer as council to deal with these matters collectively. Now, we know it very well that if there is that vacuum of whether in a delegation of
the functions to the acting person. They can be discretionary. Discretionary meaning that often when someone delegates a function, they also say, matter 1, 2, 3, 4 must wait for me. And this is in practice in the government setting, where an accounting officer can say, I delegate you to the acting DG, but recruitment, financial, and all of this, you will not catch until I come back. Now, here we have an important issue, Chairperson, which we want to give to you. There's an issue of an individual license, which is a license of national scope. We have had examples where these issues, you find that only the chairperson deals with them because of the vested interest. So this is a license that, say, for instance, Telkom or Vodacom or MTN has, and it's such a big decision. They find that someone wants to deal with it and all of that. So we want to just say that if we are serious about then devolving the delegation to an ethics person for the smooth functioning of ICASA, then the DG will not have a problem where he's asked by the minister, did you go and discuss this with ICASA, only to find that that matter is not in the delegation. So these are the examples we are trying to just give a plan, the chairperson. Thank you.
Honorable Jacobs, honorable Alex, start by honorable Welsman, honorable Jacobs, then honorable Dab. Then honorable Swan.
Chairperson, I'll just clear my mind. At the moment, it seems like the chairperson do have all the powers. Right, and the chairperson will appoint the ex-chairperson. So it can be right. So I think what the department wants is for the council to appoint the deputy chairperson. Then it's destined for collection. I think if I'm right, the chairperson will appoint the deputy chairperson. That's the opportunity.
Yeah, we will. Honorable Jacob?
Yeah, then, Chair, it's a question of clarity. The first one, I want to know whether in the Act do we have functions of the chairperson. Secondly, how is the acting chairperson being appointed? And what are his powers? Or do we have the power of the acting chairperson or the powers of the deputy chairperson, something like that? So that if we can get clarity on that one, we'll be able to solve this problem.
Okay, Honorable
Tawu,
followed by Honorable
Brian. No, I think mine would be a follow-up to what Honorable Jacobs is saying. Because you see, without having a clear understanding of the role of chairperson, it will even make it much more difficult for us to then engage. And secondly, dealing with the fears that the department is trying to resolve, I think the manner in which they are presenting what they are presenting to us, they will be creating even more problems for themselves in resolving the issue, particularly with regards to your delegation of authority to the acting chair and so forth. I would have appreciated a situation where even the kind of work that is expected to be concluded should in actual fact resolve that kind of a problem that is raising. Then to leave it as open as it is, because now from my position, I would even go to an extent of assuming that Chairperson has become or can be a dictator into the council and stall the function of the council, and by so doing we are resolving the problems that the council is facing. I mean, if the five two. I mean, to me, it's quite clear. What is the fear in the chairperson allowing the acting chair to execute the functions that are bestowed upon him as chair of the council? What would be the fear? And it really now gives one a clear understanding of why are there so many problems in the council. Now I'm becoming very much more clear. Why are there so many problems in the council? because of we have given too much, if there are those powers that I cannot refer to now because I do not have the necessary document, to an individual who can even determine what needs to be done. When in actual fact, it is not the one that is accountable to the president, but the council that is appointed by the president.
Thank you. Honorable Sibanye, followed by Honorable Mulenda. Can we listen and listen, but
Chairperson, it's unfortunately because I'm using four eyes now. You see, that's why I provoked that thing of technicality. We need a clarity what they mean exactly. So now it shows that where is the problem. But the person from Emaplazi, I want to give you an example, a practical example. The short version, in better way, the person from anybody, I fully, that's three. It was, yes, close nine, which is the amendment.
Yes. Attend the senior parliamentary law.
Read it, and then I'll come.
Read it. Yes. All right.
Subsection 3 reads as follows on the proposed subsection 3. The quorum for any meeting of the council, the majority of the councillors, I don't read the in the office at the time, because you're taking that out. Presently serving as councillors, including the chairperson. An active chairperson referred to in section 5, subsection 2.
Yes. If you read the cover act, and with compare it with this summary, I see no difference. Because it's stipulated, if please help me, yes, only yes, which is. Because it's, you know, automatically this serves to highlight that if there's no chairperson, the acting chairperson can have similar powers. That is our understanding. May you please read it for us, please?
It is section
5,
subsection 2, paragraph A. The chairperson must, in writing, appoint a councillor as acting chairperson to perform the functions of the chairperson in his or her absence. Where the chairperson is unable to make an appointment, the remaining councillors must from their number elect an acting chairperson.
Here comes the challenge. It's stipulated that the chairperson during his or her absence can make whatever delegate powers to do, 1, 2, 3. But also it goes on to say, if there is no chairperson, all councillors must elect a person to act on the behalf of the chairperson. So, this one, it covers that clause which I was talking about. So, where is the problem? Maybe there are bigger problems, more than this. So this one is just the summary of this. Such a progression, maybe as I indicated, is a person from the one area.
Emakaya. Honorable Mulenzana, how will be Emakaya?
Yes, Chairperson, thank you.
Followed by Honorable Jacob.
Thank you, Honorable Sibanye, for because that would be my premise also, asking to favor with this. 5.2.
I've listened to the question.
Yes.
But with your respect, perhaps from a layman's point of view, this additional phrase to perform functions of the chairperson, blah, 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 which goes up to the last. Doesn't assist the fear. I hope I'm controlling confusion. whether you put short version or you put it as long as it is, it remains not as it is.
Yes.
Perhaps this should be looked at in another manner. Because here is the department is honest. Flipping from what they are saying. They're trying to run away from dictatorship, which might prevail in due course of the execution of issues at the end. But then, this doesn't or wouldn't assist in carrying such. I think the devil here, Chair, would be in 5.2. Not with this amendment at the end. I'm calling this chairperson with full respect. It's the first time that I'm looking at this. I apologize in the last meeting, but I think it's a necessary conclusion that I'm drawing.
Thank you. Honorable Jacob?
Yeah, Chair. I think Comrade Madam.
I'm not a comrade.
Comrade Honorable Melinda. Chair, yeah, I think Honorable Melinda is correct. The problem that we have is in 5.2. And for the chairperson to have the power to appoint an acting chairperson. I think that is the problem. And at the same time, having power, authority to tell him that you do this and you don't do it. Because I think that should be in the powers of the chairperson, the functions of the chairperson. So that he is. And the second one, I would say maybe we need to have a chairperson and a deputy chairperson. So that it should be known. When the chairperson is not there, the deputy chairperson takes over. So that's why Honorable Lennon say the devil is in 5.2. That's why we need to fight this. Because here, you are still going to get problems.
Honorable Khadija, thank you. Honorable, you covered. Honorable Tom?
That's a pretty interesting point. I must say, Chair, with the way the department is trying to deal with this issue, I wouldn't mind to volunteer to be the chairman of this. And 17, let us put a question to the department. Wouldn't it make the teacher's life easier if these functions that are yeah, well, tomorrow it might be a late. It or her, so much more easier. Should it be that we approach or we adopt this version? Because there, it would mean one thing. The chair will forever be present in all meetings. And there would be that problem of the minister asking, if he tells us the matter, no, the chairperson must not be. The chairperson must not be. Because the chair would know that if I'm not there, his decisions about these tenders are going to be decided on. So I must be there in that meeting. So there will always be a quorum. And not have a problem of the unavailability of the chair. Don't you think that would resolve maybe the functioning of the cast? Or the cast? Thank you.
Gigi, we are trying to assist you here. We are trying to assist the department, and I think this will actually go to all other departments. Because you see, maybe this bill should have started here, anyway, Section 75. But just as you know, you see, there's a lot of, you know, information that should have been looked at. Over to Gigi.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson. I must really appreciate the interaction because it makes one really think differently and reflecting on how you look at the CASA and how you look at CASA. Yeah, I think what I will then say, Honorable Chairperson, like what members are saying, the shorter vision, it makes sense. The issues that we are trying to deal with, like, well, I think we were just discussing with DGP. One of the things that will be coming to the committee, possibly in the next administration, is that as a department we are going through a ICT policy review. I'm sure you may have heard about it. And hopefully, as a committee, we will call us one day to answer. One of the key things that we'll probably be seeing when we finalize the white paper, which will result in the bill, is to really get even ICAR itself. And it may be that these are things that we know, not even it may be, these are the things that we know as a matter of fact. In reviewing the whole ICT policy review, the whole issue of the white paper, and the integrated white paper on ICT, we also have to look at institutional arrangements, all our institutions, including the regulator, things like the size, the funding. So I think what we can then say as a department to agree with the interventions of the committee, it makes a lot of sense, the shorter version. And issues that are longer term are things that there is already a process that we started with. And when we come back to the committee, we'll be able to deal with the broader issues of how to ensure that our entities are structured properly. Like, for example, on the SABC, the president appoints the chair and the deputy chair. So there's no debate in terms of who then, in absence of a chair, what happens. Which I think if you were to compare, you realize that this is something that I think in dealing with the white paper on this, when we deal with the regulator, these are things that we have to use as lesson learned from how things have changed. But I think we really appreciate the interaction and the intervention of the committee.
Thank you very much, DG. So then, we are agreeing on the shorter version. Parliamentary, are you had your hand? Is your hand up?
Yes. I just wanted to bring to the committee's attention. Particularly in view of the challenge that has been presented to the committee, the following. One, I think the Honourable Member, that's the subsection. Actually, all the constructions don't help resolve what has been addressed incorrectly. The situation seems to be that the chairperson elects acting chairperson, and then the chairperson is given strict guidelines on what is that he or she can do. This is a result of an amendment that was done in 2003. It might be later than, I think 2003, yes. No, not 2006. In 2000, when this act was passed, this was subsection 2(r). It said the president must appoint one of the councillors as the chairperson of the council. Paragraph B read, in the absence of the chairperson, the remaining councillors from their number elect an acting chairperson who, while he or she so acts, may perform all the functions of the chairperson. Now, this construction would obviate the challenges complained about. If the committee wants to deal with that particular aspect, it would be my submission that this construction would dispense that particular situation. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Honourable Jacob, thank you, Honourable
Minister. Yeah. I think we are pleased with that submission. Now, when I'm at the house, I was just on it. Could you say
that?
I think we need to reinstate that subsection.
We got the whole day. We can do this the whole day because today is the final day.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Well, I think wisely pointed out, but at the same time, the existing subsection 5.2 says the chairperson must in writing appoint a councillor or acting chairperson as acting chairperson to perform the functions of the chairperson. So the other one says the president, and it says all the functions, but this one still says the chairperson must appoint to perform the functions of the chairperson. So it's in fact already covered. The chairperson doesn't have discretion to say, acting chair, you can only do 1, 2, 3. The act is clear. It says chairperson tells the acting chairperson, you perform the functions of the chairperson. That means all the functions, not only part of it. Unfortunately, I also recognize the practical problems we experience, but it's the wrong interpretation by ICASA in this matter. It's not a problem with the law. Respectfully, it's a matter of interpretation by ICASA that must simply be managed. So I would respectfully say that it's not necessary at this point to amend Section 5.2 as well, because it's merely an interpretational issue by ICASA. They must be cautioned to understand the law correctly. Thank you, Chair.
I think we're going to debate this thing for the whole day. I'm trying to make a follow-up on that version that was presented to us now. In that version, there is no way where the chairperson appoints an acting chairperson. It says the councillors, the remaining councillors who are there, they have that power to appoint the acting chairperson. The owner does not allow you the chairperson. If I had you, it says that. And now, Charles, what you are saying now is a problem which has been there, and we failed to resolve that problem. As an official of the department, we have failed to resolve the problem which we have. And now they are saying, no, we should leave it, they will understand. We don't want them to understand. They have to apply the law according to the book. Because I was even going to say, we need maybe to call all those councillors here. So that they need to clarify to us. That it won't help, because next time it will be other councillors who will still be applying there. But we need to clarify this within the law, so that anybody who comes in, he must act according to the book.
I'm covered by Mr.
Let me remind
remind you, members, you remember when we started in this committee, we invited Ikas, and the chairperson was overseas. Mm-hmm. And the members, the councillors who were around in Cape Town, the chairperson went away, haven't received the invitation, but didn't even bother to say there is this meeting, so and so, take care of it. And those councillors who were around in Cape Town, having attended a meeting of the portfolio committee, were called to say, tomorrow go and attend the select committee meeting. And they came before, I remember we were even in S35. And nobody could take responsibility when we were asking questions. And at the end, they told us, we didn't know about this. We didn't even have clothes. We had to go and buy clothes because we were supposed to go back to Pretoria. So can you see what is this really doing to the Lord? I mean, so I think we must really, this committee, I think, is going to assist. And we are doing this. GDG?
Mr. Chairperson, I think, thank you very much for the discussions here. We have a little bit of a concern. When you look at how that council has evolved, section 4.5, when you read it, it seems A, B, and C did want to emphasize on the executive function role of the chairperson to distinguish from the rest, because it talks about him or her providing overall leadership of the council, manage the activities of council, and perform any function assigned to him or her in terms of any law. We are not quite certain, Chair, if you remove his ability to also nominate a acting chairperson, you might be compounding the problem, because in other instances, and this is why we have observed that the vote of the chairperson in a meeting, because these members are actually 9 when they are full complement, is very important. It's because they may not agree on who should be the acting chairperson. And so the leadership role of the without delegating the office of the chairperson in actual with the intent of the legislator, it seems to me that we may want to adopt the short version and think through the whole composition of that, because I think the good thing that Honorable Jacobs is presenting is that actually, why don't you have a deputy chairperson in law? And you know that when this one is not there, the functions fully, you know, so it's not dependent also, because there are personalities, some personalities are much stronger than others on the end of the day. So so we think that chairperson, we are helped by the adoption of the short version. And we'll be given time to look at the issues as they are debated by the committee today. In the because we'll be coming back with the white paper to the committee to look into the structure of this council. There are problems, really, you know, things like that. So that would be my appeal, because we're not quite sure. So if we adopt as you recommend, and then maybe this issue of removing his or her, I mean, there was a time where council functioned very well because there was a strong person. Mm-hmm. I think because of his own character and all of that. But in other instances, it tends to be difficult. So the leadership role is very important to emphasize. Okay. Because when you look at, as a leader, you look at a number of things. And you say, no, for this to function, it is your discretion that Councillor A can sit in, and you know, and that also gives a sense that, no, the chairperson actually made the decision. But removing the chairperson, the 8 members, they form a group, and the fines may also take time. So I don't know, chairperson. That's my appeal, that we move with the adoption. Thank you.
Other things will be looked at. Okay. Honorable Chief, that's Honorable Mabija, followed by Honorable Dick.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to agree, but I'm not comfortable because your coming back will be coming back to your cities. Because your cities who do not even understand where this thing originated. And you just, it will be just brush, and it's over. I'm not comfortable really because this is the tendency that we see with departments. They know we come and go. And when they come next time, it's new faces who do not even have the background. So, I'm not comfortable. If you could be saying you come back before, before we leave, so that we continue to the same level of understanding. Hey, we close it with the same level of understanding because we close it with people who don't even understand.
And I will take us.
Yeah, I compare with Honorable Mabija. Because, you know, to give new people something that they don't understand is going to be problematic. Because what are trying, we are trying to assist. And I think the department must seize that opportunity. Because we have not yet passed this bill. So if there are other sections that we can amend, let's amend it now. What is the fear? We are legislators. So if we want to amend, give us something to amend so that we won't solve this problem if we don't amend certain sections.
I think this will also assist the department in the later, in future, but to bring the bills late to the to SOP. Honorable
John. Oh, thanks, Chair. I'm glad it's honorable because it concurs with an earlier statement made because it was there's a portion of that statement that sounds quite self-defeating of what we want to achieve. What really was the section 35 has been brought to us as a committee. We are engaging with it and we are making our own amendments to what we can see or what is put before us. So there's nothing that stops us as a committee to insist on the amendments that we are seeing. If it goes to the National Assembly, if those amendments are accepted, that's another process. You know? But nothing stops us as a committee or the NCOP to make that amendment. That's how we see things. I mean, the DVD earlier by Gordon Rye, he spoke about part of what they intend to do is to ensure that they build a council that is embedded with the principles of collective leadership. That's how I understood it. To be encouraging this collectiveness within the council. But you still maintain this, I would call it, that's okay, fine, we're playing now with the appointment, dictatorship, or whatever. Because in the same breath, I mean, I can imagine if the chairperson consistently in his absence appoints the same person, that can be divided for sure. Because it may even break the council and defeat that objective of building a collective team that is able to take the institution or the organization forward. So I would suggest, Chair,
that yes, that is another process to bring forth the policy. It would even, honourable, through you, Chair Honourable Mapida, empower those members that would be new, that would come after us, if we are not there, to know that even in the previous parliament there was an attempt to change, and that attempt was not accepted by the National Assembly, or it was accepted by the National Assembly, which will then even further influence the kind of policy that the department would be bringing before us. It was just a reach, but we cannot wait until that policy proposals or the structuring of the what is it, ICT? It may even strengthen whatever that that the department will be bringing. So I would insist that we proceed with what we are amending and adopt, if we adopt, let it go back to the National Assembly. If they agree with us, they will agree with us. If they don't agree with us, the Constitution shall intervene insofar as how the legislation is processed. Thank you.
One always proceeds with caution when he speaks to members of parliament, especially the House Chairperson. Because one doesn't want to. You know, I used to, in the office, I used to say to the guys when they do some of the things, especially when they say parliament can't do this now, it's paid and all of that. I always say to them that they are stifling or saying the will of the people, because the members are presenting the will to the people. And doing that is not constitutional. I find myself today having to say something, because people are supposed to say it, maybe this week they are not saying it. So, Section 75 of the Constitution, this is Section 75, establishes or set up the procedure under which a bill like this should be handled in the NCOP. And I would read it loud and clear, Chairperson. You say, when the National Assembly passes a bill other than a bill to which a procedure set out in Section 74, Section 74 is bill amending the Constitution, or Section 76. Section 76 are bills which affect the interests of the province, which are affecting the province. This is not that bill. This is Section 76. Ordinary bill not affecting the province. So he says, when he does that, the bill must be referred to the National Council of Provinces and dealt with in accordance with the following procedure. The organization went following procedure, Chairperson. Chairperson, the council must pass the bill. The council must pass the bill. The council must pass the bill. The council must have a bill subject to propose to amendments proposed by it. Can propose amendments to this bill. Mm-hmm. Or reject the bill. Mm-hmm. Those are the three things I can say. Complicated question. In his last remarks, he talked about this constitution that I'm reading from. You know, we'll be dictated by this constitution. This is the bill that has been referred to the committee chairperson, the National Assembly. Mm. And Section 52 is not part of the bill. Section 52 is not part of this bill. That's one part of it. If you have two constitutional cases, chairperson, to all constitutional cases, especially when administrative law is an issue, the Constitutional Court saying state functionaries and publish and public or other public officials are constrained by the principle that they can do nothing that is not constrained upon them by law. And you say this is the principle of legality, which is embedded in the rule of law, which is the foundational value of our Constitution, Section 1 of the Constitution. I repeat that again. 5.2, section 5.2 is not subject to this constitution.
So this is
one point I'm putting. Here is the second point, chapter 6. I said last week, and I will repeat it. When we read the bill, chapter 6, or legislation, we read the bill as a whole. We don't read that section only. In 2006, what he referred to, what he read as a provisional section, was not the only provision of the bill that was amended. There were other sections that were also amended too. Then the person who appointed was the resident, if that same president, same functionary, also appointed the deputy. But through the difficulties and challenges that may have been experienced at the time, prior to 2006, then certain section of the system was changed. And he, I'm sure, the aim was to make sure that he, because the constitutional institution, the man wanted to give the National Assembly its powers and its role in terms of this institution. And yet, the president was replaced by the National Assembly and the minister in all these sections that changed then. You will go for example into the constitution of the constitution of the appointment of the chairperson. There is an amendment that was done in 2006 there. You will go there in the section all over, there are so many amendments that have been done there. Now he said that the president appoints the chairperson, the chairperson of the country. And the council in Potok as a whole, as a collective, then appoint an acting chairperson, which my colleagues from the department have said. I remember also when I was a committee, let me not complain. So that is the issue now. Now, it must have been said, okay, but the chairperson, it doesn't have this power to appoint, it doesn't have, it's a chairperson. As Mr. Fisher said, it is a chairperson, and he provides leadership over the country. But it didn't have this power to appoint an acting chairperson, somehow to step to act in his head. In his office. Only the council can do that, that is the chairperson. And the country is in other words, the chairperson. There are others that are suitable for him. And but I'm appointing an acting chairperson in his office. And for now we should consider the power to the chairperson. Section 5, these two instances when acting chairperson is appointed, so that the chairperson is confessed by the power. That's what subsection 2 does. It provides for the chairperson himself or herself to appoint an acting chairperson. Just as the committee secretary, when he said that the committee secretary, he had that power to appoint an acting chairperson in his absence. When I arranged the meeting and said, I will come in, then he said, where that power? Just come sit down, then he said, then I'll go to the meeting, but that power, then I'll go to the meeting and say, you must move, so that Mr. Tao said, you can appoint so and so. But that is not the case. That's it. He retained the second one, chairperson. If the chairperson was a confessed power, and then he retained the counselor. So there are two subsections. There are two provisions.
Point of order.
Honorable
senior state law advisor, Agatinich, is not assisting us. We are having a problem here. I was thinking that after all what he has said, after all what is said and done, this is my recommendation. We have to do business on this. He's not coming up with that. Because we want a solution here. But the way I understand what he's saying, he is not assisting us. So let him assist this house because we want a solution.
Can
you assist us? Don't take us there. Maybe even what we were doing during when we were the committee secretary, that was wrong. So you're telling us that we were doing wrong things. So please don't go there because we will correct you. You must withdraw because what you were doing was wrong.
So don't do that. I saw the hand of the first Honorable Dowden, the senior parliamentary law advisor.
No, thank you. I must say he is a senior state advisor. He is defending the interests of the country. And it is his job. Don't hit him. He must. That is why Parliament took a decision to have its own legal section in order not to rely on the state law advisors all the time. He would remember, I don't want to go there, but in most instances, committees even then were advised by state law advisors, who in the main, their interest was to ensure that the will or the wishes of the executive goes through and through the process of committee. But that's a very interesting thing that the senior state law advisor raised. And probably when you give me an opportunity, I would have him to respond to that. It says 5-2 is not part of the bill. Then why are we dealing with 5-2 if it is not part of the bill? How did it come before us to a point where we are discussing in a manner in which we are discussing? I would really love to have clarity on that, because then it would either mean that at some point or the other, as a committee we must let, it's either the department, if it has introduced it, then why did they introduce it if it was not part of the bill? So it would be good to get that clarity checked. How do we explain that 5-2 is not part of it?
No. I was going to respond to that, because I think the parliamentary legal advice is the one who raised that the short version goes along with the 5.2. So, but if the department wants to clarify that better, that's how it came in.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I wanted to say what you said. Thank you very much.
Mr. Banas.
Thank you, Chair. Let me just try and amplify what Mr. Mwoko is saying, from the Office of the Chief State Law Advisor. It says section 5, subsection 2 is not part of the law. I think what it means is that section 5, subsection 2 is not proposed by the department as an amendment.
Yeah.
That is what it means. To which I agree. I think that is probably the first advance that I agree with all that you said. Let me refocus the issue. I think there is nothing in the Constitution, I want to show this. There is nothing in law that prohibits this committee from making a proposed amendment to the National Assembly. I think that needs to be clarified. There is no ambiguity in law around that. But Honorable Zhao said, how the MA responds to that is completely different matter. But to suggest that the MA does not have the competence to consider this proposal, if the suggestion is that you're wasting your time in making this proposal as the National Assembly is not in itself within its competence to consider favorably this proposal, has no basis in law. The National Assembly has got an obligation to consider proposals coming from the National Council of Provinces. That is in law. After this process, if you propose an amendment, this bill will go back to the National Assembly for the National Assembly to consider those proposals. In the rules of the National Assembly, while it is correct is that this bill does not seek to amend Section 5 of Section 2. In the rules of National Assembly, there is a provision there that empowers a committee of the National Assembly when considering an amendment bill, and if it wants to bring additional amendments to those suggested, basically, it can seek the permission of the House to bring that amendment. So I just wanted to allay the committee's fear that in law, nothing prohibits the committee from making this proposal. And there will be nothing stopping the National Assembly, if it so wishes to consider this proposal favorably, to do so. I thank you.
Just to clarify the issues raised by the parliamentary meeting. This won't be the first bill in any case that has been brought to the National Council of Province.
And the
committee not having made further amendments to those that have been brought by the department. Because now, I can imagine, if the department brings a bill before the committee, only to realize that the section that they are proposing of coming before the committee for an amendment contradicts something that they might not have picked up, or contradicts something that even the National Assembly might not have picked up, and the National Council of Provinces realize such amendments. The most recent protection of state information bill, there are many amendments that the National Council of Provinces proposed, who ordinarily were not even part of the body of the bill, and even proposed amendment by the department at that time, and even those that had been effected by the National Assembly and passed to the National Council of Provinces for concurrence. And that was the Section 75. And that's not only, I'm just identifying or raising it as an example that can speak to. So, whether the issue has been raised by the department at all, I don't think that holds water, or that must be another person's trainer as a committee to make those proposals.
Yeah, thank you very much. I think we have debated, and now what we're going to do, the department is going to look at Part 1.2. Because I thought we were going to finish this, but now as we debate, we can see the necessity of making, we don't rather stamp, we look at issues. So on this one, the department is going to look at what the committee has proposed, and then we will come back. We have agreed on the first short-term version, and then now the department must go and look at 5.2. Can we now, Honorable Jacobs?
Yes, that's an issue. That proposal should reach us before they come in, so that we should slip over it and check whether it contains what we want to be contained in that.
Yeah, thank you. That will happen. I saw the CD and the CDD noting.
Yes.
So for today, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa Amendment Bill, we have done. We're going to polish it, and then before you talk to us, you send this to us so that we look at it. Honorable Groenewald, is there anything?
Thank you, Chairperson. Regarding what the Honorable Jacobs said, is in the other section, we have a problem in this bill that you mention it and put it on the table so that the department can go in and look into the meeting. And I mentioned last week, if I can carry on. I mentioned it last week, you gave us an answer, but I'm not quite happy about it, and that is on page 4 of the amendment bill, 4.3H8.
and that's only one word I have a problem with, and we discuss it, and the word must or may, the very first word on section 4.3.8, must or may. I want to see that we change the must into may, and the reason therefore is that...
Can you put it nicely, not say you want to see it. Can you put... I want us to, when we talk, you know, we must... you're speaking, don't say, I want. Can you say, can the department go and look at it?
Yeah.
Yes, please.
Right.
Over to you.
And the reason I'm asking that is this, the protecting of ICASA's chapter 9 status, where if you you know what's in that, and that is not for the minister to have the final say in where decisions is being made. So and that what stands there is must. They must look in the policies made. They must. The direction issued and all that, but if we can do must and put it put my into the must, the word change there.
Another
question?
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, one of those funerals now left flat-footed, because initially I was going to ask whether if there is anything illegal in us passing the bill with amendment instead of referring it back to the Department for consideration of 5.2. Now that is bringing up a new issue now, it calls on all of us again now to apply our mind to leave what is raising. We may give up on what the Honourable is proposing, or maybe even consider what it is proposed in favor, depending on how we have internalized what is coming from. I mean, that's what I'm saying. I was going to propose that why can't we adopt the
Committee I don't know that last week Honorable Kronaval raised this, and the department did explain. I don't know at this point in time whether there's anything different, anything new that the department can tell us on what Honorable Kronaval is raising. Because I would go along with what Honorable Kronaval is raising, that we passed this bill today with amendment. But can the department again explain to Honorable Kronaval his concern about this? Over to you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. This has been a provision that's been controversial for a long time, in the sense that the department, when this bill was introduced, we didn't want must consider. We preferred must implement. When this bill was first published for comment, the preferred wording was ICASA must implement. Why did we want must implement? Because of what is happening at the moment. ICASA, due to independence and due to this provision, now let me pause there and say there's an exact same provision in another act, the ECA. In section 3 of the Electronic Communications Act, there's an exact same section that says ICASA must consider the policy and policy directions of the minister. So your first, the first concern is if you want to change something, if we want to change something in the ICASA, you'll have to go and also change other legislation. That's the first very important thing. The second thing is, ICASA, they know what that section means, and they know and they exercise their constitutional independence in terms of that section. Because the word consider, there's a certain meaning to the word consider. I don't have a dictionary that I can quickly open, but basically it means you, as the administrator, for example, you must apply your mind to what is before you, you must duly consider it. At the end of the day, you still have the discretion to make the decision. So that's what happens. It happens in practice. ICASA must consider. So ICASA must then take any policy or policy direction that government, in accordance with the mandate of government places before them, they must consider it. That's a fact. However, because of the meaning of consider, it never says they must implement and they must follow the letter of that policy or policy direction. They must consider. After they've considered, they can then decide the minister is completely wrong here, or it's impossible to implement what is requested in this policy, or they are allowed to follow a different action, to go and do something contrary to what the policy or policy direction says. And this is a fact. We have documentation that's publicly available on a number of occasions. ICASA, in their deliberations or regulations and other processes, they usually issue with the regulation. I remember the DGP mentioned this last week. With their regulations and processes, they issue reasoned documents to explain what they've done. And I have examples on a number of occasions, ICASA stating in the reasons document, we have applied our minds to the minister's policy and policy direction in this regard. In other words, we have considered it. However, we cannot implement it because of this and this reason. So that's the process. They must consider it. They must duly apply themselves to it. They should even be able to provide reasons why, in the end of the day, they deviate from it. So that's the way it's implemented and instructed. I think it's the correct interpretation. It also protects the constitutional independence of ICASA, and it's an existing right in the EEA. And I said, when we introduced the bill, we wanted to say they must implement policy and policy direction. That part has been removed from the bill, and it's been included as a matter for serious consideration under the ICASA policy review process. So that process, in future, the discussion will again take place on to what extent is ICASA obliged to implement government policy and policy direction. But at this point in time, to give them the benefit of the existing right under the ETA, is that, and to protect their independence, they must consider. So we respectfully submit that this ruling is not something new. It's been in the ETA for a couple of years now. It's been implemented in practice, and ICASA legal representative is also here, and I'm sure he will confirm the view I just expressed. Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Honourable.
Thank you very much. I see Honourable Runevald agree. So wonderful. With the explanation. So can we, Honourable Jones, propose that we go close? We are now going to go close by close, and then at the end we are going to wait with a proposed amendment. And then, but I would request the department to lead us law by law. Is there anything GC, that you want to
discuss?
All right. Can the department lead us law by law?
As person, I want Alf to read the bill, the clauses in the bill, and lead the chairperson into what is being considered. If he has the document in the right place. Alf, please.
Alf, over to you. Leader. No, vice. And the committee will. I think everyone is front of himself or herself has got the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa Amendment Bill as amended by the Portfolio Committee on Communications National Assembly. Bill B18B 2013. Do we all have the one? Honorable Dom? It doesn't look like you have one, the right one. Bruno?
Thank you, Honourable Chair.
Section clause by clause. In case that something is wrong, and then we let it go, and then tomorrow the on and so please, about 10
Chair, before I proceed, may I propose, because when we get to clause section 5.2, which the Honourable Committee proposed an amendment to, no one here, as far as I can ascertain, can immediately give that wording, so the Honourable Committee wouldn't be able to move on it. May I propose that then, while I take the committee through the other issues, that perhaps the senior parliamentary legal advisor in the meantime just craft something for the committee to consider at that particular point in time. Okay.
Honourable members, are we in agreement? Honourable Zhang? Honourable Zhang? I will agree on this. The senior parliamentary liaison, legal advisor, in the meantime, draft something while we go through the bill. Yeah, okay. Honourable Jacob,
sir? Sir, I've got a different proposal.
Okay.
How about going close by close next week?
Not today.
Because we have said they must give us a chance to look through. But if they're right now, it means we have to at all these days.
Okay, there's a proposal that we do this next week. Any seconder? Okay, we've got Honorable Salzman and Honorable Mabitsa. So we put this in the fight. We're not going just by close because the reason we want to see the wedding. Yeah. And then can we now go to the electronic communication convention here? Bill B-17B of 2013. Department, is there anything that you want to say on this one?
Certainly you did not assign us to do anything on this bill. You deliberated and you almost agreed with the explanations we gave you in the previous two sessions. Thank you.
Okay, and there was that other issue of the meeting of assembly. You didn't talk. Is it on the ICASA one or on this one? On the ICASA one? Or is that that one? Okay, no, that's fine. So can we go back to the ECA? Okay. Good. Now it's ECA.
Thank you, Chair. I will then take the Honourable Committee through the bill effectively by reading it clause by clause.
I'm just getting worried that the department is the one that takes through.
Okay.
Because this is now a legislation for us as a committee.
Okay. I was really asking too much. I'll do it. You caught me.
You can pass the whistle on the committee.
Okay. She's also taking her head. But anyway, let's go block by block. Now everyone has got Bill B-17B of 2013. Okay. We've got the bill to amend the Electronic Communication Act of 2005. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we go to clause 1. Members will indicate to me if they agree, they do certify themselves that there is nothing, even the spelling. Clause 1.
Agree.
Agree.
to the senior state law advisor in absentia. Gigi, thank you very much. We have just said one, so next week, can we have what we have, before you come, can we have that, what has been proposed? Then we look at it. Thank you very much. Do you want to say anything, Gigi?
First of all, I just wanted to clarify, in terms of timeline, today is Wednesday. When do we give this one data to clarify before? Maybe you can finalize it with us.
On Monday?
The timeline.
I'll give it on Monday.
Because the committee needs to have it before 2 days before.
Monday?
Oh,
obviously.
No, my end of days is today.
By end of thank you very much. Thank you. This has been a very busy meeting. We have applied, all of us, we have applied our minds. We'll see you next week. Thank you very much. Let me present that day.
I think that's the